The English Renaissance cannot be considered apart from its European context. The Renaissance, which flourished in Northern Europe during the 16th century, was in many ways very different from that which had taken place in Italy a century before. The Italian Renaissance was a time of great political instability, which, after centuries of religious dominance, provided the conditions for a great explosion of individual expression, particularly in the arts. In Northern Europe, the Renaissance was delayed and filtered by the Reformation, and in England it was more diluted and better integrated into the cultural life of a relatively stable society, in which the Church's power and influence were already reduced, thanks to the reforms instituted by Henry VIII. This spirit of reform continued under the reign of Elizabeth I, whose court included some of the leading intellectual figures of the day, from the poets Edmund Spenser and Philip Sidney to John Dee, the visionary mathematician. The open questioning mentality of the Elizabethans was tacitly encouraged by the Queen and her advisers until the late 16th century, when the conservative forces of the Counter-Reformation began to take control of Europe. It is difficult to say exactly when the English Renaissance ended, but it is clear that after the death of Elizabeth, the new king, the Catholic James I, did not support its spirit. If the Italian Renaissance produced numerous artistic geniuses, the English Renaissance, for its part, was a time of huge expansion of knowledge in a wide variety of fields, philosophical, literary, moral, social, scientific and religious. It is significant that the universities of Oxford and Cambridge, which had been founded during the 14th century, expanded greatly during the Renaissance. The study of classical cultures, Latin and Greek, but also Hebrew, which for centuries had been neglected or suppressed, was reborn, and it is from this rebirth that the Renaissance takes its name. Page 104, The Spirit of Renaissance Curiosity. Although the Renaissance is often considered the beginning of the modern age, it is important to realize that the spirit of intellectual curiosity it promoted was essentially directed towards the past, in particular to the ideas and civilizations of ancient Rome and Greece. This culture had partly been suppressed by the Catholic Church during the Middle Ages because of its paganism and spirit of free inquiry. For this reason, many of the achievements of the Greeks in science, mathematics, philosophy, and natural history remained buried for centuries. In the Renaissance, the spread of learning was assisted by the technology of the printing press, brought to England by William Caxton in 1476. A consequence of this was the extension of literacy beyond clerics and monks. A key figure of Renaissance humanism in Northern Europe was Erasmus of Rotterdam, who published a new Latin version of the Greek Bible in 1516. Erasmus also encouraged the spread of the teaching of Latin throughout Europe, in the hope that it might become a lingua franca, a language serving as a medium of communication between different nations, of educated people from different countries. In a certain respect, we can say that the Renaissance was an age of confusion, because old medieval ideas of myth and astrology coexisted with the new progressive discoveries of science and philosophy. It is also true, however, that many commonplaces of the medieval mentality, for example, the idea of fixed destiny and the benign or malign influence of stars and planets, for example, were reinterpreted in a way that permitted a new vision of man as an autonomous being possessing free will. The Centrality of Man, page 105. During the Renaissance, the human figure and human thought and action began to take precedence over the divine sphere which had dominated the medieval period, giving rise to a cultural movement called humanism. Man, in this context, the Western male, became the center of artistic, cultural, and moral inquiry, and was exalted as the center of the universe, while various others, including women and colonized savages, were situated at its margins. In fact, although we generally think of this period as the beginning of the road towards progress, it's important to consider that this progress was possible thanks to the expansionist policies of the great European trading nations. These policies, which created the economic and social conditions for the development of modernity, would involve the conquest and economic exploitation of countries in Africa, Asia, and the Americas.